Hi, welcome to Critic Critters, where we dig our paws into movies and TV shows. Hey guys, welcome back to Critic Critters. Today we're going to be talking about 10 Things I Hate About You and How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days. We're going to start off by diving into How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days.
Okay guys, for How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days, we're going to be talking about how Andy Anderson tries pushing the boundaries of what she can write about in her new piece about how to get a man to leave in 10 days.
Meanwhile, the executive Ben Barry, who is very confident in his romantic skills, thinks that he can make any woman fall in love with him in 10 days. So he makes a bet with his company and says that in 10 days, when they have the diamond ball, he will have a woman in love with him.
So as they start hanging out more and more, Andy has decided that she needs to stop being so chill and start to push him away a little bit because she only has 10 days to lose this guy. But little does she know, this guy is trying to make her fall in love with him. So now we're going to summarize all the things that Andy did to push Ben away.
So, Andy decides it would be a great idea to make a scrapbook of what their babies are supposed to look like.
She also bought a dog who looks like a rat.
Isn't potty trained at all.
Yeah, not potty trained. And then also, oh, a love fern. It wasn't a water fern. It was a love fern, which is a plant, but I guess that dies. Yeah. She makes friends with his mother. He is unaware of that. And most of all, she names his attachment. She names him Princess Sophia, and he's very offended by that. So they decide they're going to go to couples therapy. But little does he know, the couples therapy therapist is Andy's friend, who is basically just ripping him off. But yes, they talk about that he's very upset about Princess Sophia, and they're having issues. So Ben is not happy, and Ben is going to fail and trying to make her fall in love with him. After all the madness that Andy has been putting Ben through, they decide to go visit Ben's parents at Staten Island. And this is very plot changing.
The tables have turned.
Yes, the tables have turned, and Andy walks in the house and immediately is like, oh my God, I love his family. And he just is like, my family's crazy.
So while in Staten Island, Andy and Ben's whole family start playing the game BS, and while they're doing this, Andy actually starts bonding with Ben's dad and kind of finds out like how great of a family they are and how much he actually likes them.
Then there's the motorcycle scene, and the motorcycle scene is when Andy and Ben leave the house and go on a little adventure themselves. He teaches her how to ride the motorcycle, and then they have some ice cream. And then they get sprayed by a trash truck in a puddle. Then there's the bathroom scene, and that's when it all changed. Because Andy realized she's in love with Ben. They have their first kiss. And then the shower gets a little hot and heavy.
So now they're back in, what is it, New York City?
Yeah.
And it's time for the ball. And so Andy goes with Ben. And while they're at the ball, Ben meets Andy's boss or editor, and she tells Ben about this article that Andy's writing, and obviously he has no idea that he's the guy that she's trying to lose, but he starts to figure it out.
After Ben has found out the story that Andy has to write, Andy finds out about his bet he has about if he makes a girl fall in love with him in 10 days, he gets to announce the new diamond thing at the ball, like a huge deal.
To lead this thing for his business.
Yes, for his business. His friends tell her that and she's very upset. And then that's when the famous song You're So Vain comes into play because they both perform it, basically screaming at each other on stage in front of the whole ball. So after the ball, the two of them break up and then
Andy's all kind of upset because she realizes Ben's actually a really good guy, and Ben kind of realizes,
she's an amazing girl.
Yeah, she's not as weird as she came off to be in the beginning.
Yes, she's not making crazy books and stuff of future kids. She's not being a freak show. But so basically, her article comes out, and he reads it, and he was like, oh my god, like, she did not write it about what she was supposed to write about, like, and then he kind of made him fall in love with her, right,
I guess? She kind of wrote it about how, like, it was a bad decision to do that, and kind of just, like, about how she ended up falling in love with Ben. So he reads it, he goes to see her at work, finds out she quit, and that she's moving.
Basically, the typical on the way to the airport scenario.
So he's like, oh my gosh, I have to flag her down. So he goes to her apartment. She's getting in her car. And he's like, all right. So he gets on his motorcycle, follows her taxi in the middle of a bridge.
In the middle of what bridge? I don't know what bridge Brooklyn that is. Bridge. It's a Brooklyn Bridge, probably. And the entire bridge stops. And basically, she gets out of the car. He gets out of his, he gets off his motorcycle. And boom, boom.
Kind of just profess their love for each other.
Yep. And yeah, that's kind of how the story goes.
Tells her, like, oh, don't leave. Stay here with mm-hmm. me. And then they kind of just end up together.
And then they live happy ever after. Like, W.
So now we're going to talk about 10 Things I Hate About You, one of my favorite movies. So basically, this is talking about the Stratford sisters. Like, it's kind of their coming-of-age love story for both of them. So Kat Stratford is really edgy, tomboy, indie girl.
Lonely.
Loves guitar, like, hates, she's super hyper-feminist. Like,
yes.
She really need into,
yeah.
Doesn't need a boy to be happy. She
she's more against
herself.
Boys.
Yeah.
Like,
she, yeah.
Very independent.
She's very, and she's kind of, I mean, as they say in the movie, a heinous, but we might have to bleep that over. But.
True. But then there's Bianca.
And Bianca might be even worse. Like, Bianca is so obsessed with being popular. She's so shallow. She loves her Prada backpack over her Skechers because she has a Prada backpack.
She is the exact opposite of her sister.
She needs attention at all times.
She needs attention from the popular boy.
So, their family dynamic. So, basically, their dad is a gynecologist. He delivers babies all day, and he is super protective of his two daughters because, like, teen pregnancy is a thing. Like, he sees it every day, and he does not want to deal with that with his kids. So they're not allowed to date until they graduate. That's their one house rule.
Yes.
And another thing is that their mom left them 3 years ago. So Kat is very sensitive about this. So Bianca's kind of not sensitive about it. Like, Kat gets mad at her for wearing her pearls. Like, and Bianca thinks that Kat is, like,
traumatic.
So weird for not wanting to be popular. And everyone in school kind of fears Kat. So,
which is, like, low-key, like, baddie.
Yeah, she is a baddie. Like, honestly, she's my idol, to be honest. So she's really scary and everything. So there's this guy. What's his name?
Johnny?
I think it's Johnny.
Johnny.
He's a model. He's super full of himself. Like, when you think, like, peaked in high school, that's what you think of. Like, he's a model. He's full of himself. All he wants is to get different girls. And so he makes a bet with his friends.
Bianca falls under his spell, basically.
Yeah, he makes a bet with his friends. Like, his friends say, oh, you can't get Bianca. Like, she's not allowed to date anyone. And, like, she'll never go for you or something because she's so innocent and she's so pure, but everyone wants her. So he says, all right, bet. Like, I will.
Yeah,
I'll get her.
So he works his magic and he basically gets her, I would say.
Like, under his spell, like, she's obsessed with him. But again, they're not allowed to date until they graduate.
Unless.
Plot twist.
Mr. Stratford, he makes up a new rule that Bianca can date when Kat dates because Kat will never date. And he says, oh, that's perfect. You know what? That's the new rule.
So Bianca tells Johnny this and
never mind. She doesn't tell Johnny. She tells Cameron. So there's another guy in this. There's a love triangle with Bianca. So Bianca likes Johnny. Johnny likes Bianca, but not for the right reasons. But Cameron is the sweet new guy. He just moved here. His dad's in the military, goes to a ton of different schools, but he is in love at first sight with Bianca. She's pure. She's beautiful. He thinks he sees something.
He likes her for the right reasons.
Yeah. So he finds out that she's looking for a French tutor. So he's like, all right, bet I'll be her French tutor. Doesn't know any French.
He just wants to be with her.
They're teaching French. He's like, oh, do you want to go eat French food? And she's like, are you asking me out? I'm not allowed to date. Actually, I can date when my sister dates. And he says, all right, I'll find someone that'll date your sister. So they go around and they ask so many people if they what they would think about dating Kat Stratford.
How did Johnny find out about the bet?
So the friend Michael that toured him around school, he's like, oh, you can't talk to him. Like, no one can talk to him. They'll eat you, yeah. Basically. And so he goes up to him at lunch. And Johnny's like, what are you doing? Get away from me. And he's like, I know you like Bianca. And I know you have money. How about you pay someone to date her sister? Because if she dates, then Bianca can date. So he agrees. So Cameron and Michael, they have to find someone. And they ask so many people and everyone just laughs in their face or they cry and say they're scared of her. And then they find some guy that's not afraid of anything. Not afraid of anything. He smokes cigarettes in the lab.
Yeah. He lights his textbook on fire. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, he's just like Heath Ledger. He's so fine.
Yeah, he's Heath Ledger. He's got an Australian accent.
He's got the curls. Like,
he's a bad boy. Like, he's not scared of anything. People are scared
of
him.
He's like the old school bad boy.
What was the rumor? He ate a... What did he eat? Like a goose?
A
but
rabbit
everything
or
but the,
something?
Everything but the beak.
Yeah, something like that.
He ate it raw, like alive.
Yeah.
Was he
in prison for a little bit?
That was a rumor.
There's lots of rumors about this guy because
he had a porn career.
Yes. But, I mean, he's the guy. I mean, yeah. If there's anyone that can tackle Kat Stratford.
Exactly.
It's this boy.
So, they give him some money. They're like, hey, I'll give you $20 if you go on a date with him. And he's like, okay, fine. So, he walks up to her at the end of soccer practice, and Kat is not interested at all. But he keeps pushing. He follows her around, sees her at the music store, starts learning more about her, and Cam does some research with Bianca, too, on how to get Kat.
Well, I feel like Kat starts to realize that she's like, oh, wait, like, boys aren't so bad. I kind of like this one.
Yeah, he pays attention to her.
He gives her the attention she wants.
Yeah.
But it's still hard to tell because, I mean, she's got that RBF, but I'm trying to think of when they really connected at the party.
Yeah.
That was, where she did the famous Kat Stratford table dance.
Oh, yeah. So she finally agrees to go to the party, even though that's not something she would do ever, because she knows that her sister really wants to go, and she's already been asked by someone she's kind of interested in. She's kind of interested in Patrick, so... She decides to go, finally, and they go after Bianca tries on the pregnancy belly from the ad, but they go. No kissing, no drinking, those are the rules, no drugs. Those are the rules. Not thinking that they abide by any of those rules, but, you know.
I don't know, but... So then after
Kat
the
gets
party,
a little tipsy,
yeah,
and...
Kat gets tipsy, and...
But Patrick is there to take care of her.
So once... Kat and Patrick leave the party. He drives her home.
Yeah. And then Kat tries to kiss Patrick, but Patrick is like, no, like, you're under the influence. Like, how do we say, like, drunk while we can't say? Can we say drunk?
We're just going to say it. Drunk. She was drunk.
She was drunk. So he was like, no, like, just go home, like. Not right now, basically.
But he wanted to wait for a better time to kiss her when she was in the right mindset.
And this is also, I think, where the point where he starts feeling, like, guilty about the whole, like, getting paid thing. Like, that she's, like, an actual girl with, like, feelings, and now she's starting to catch feelings for him.
And he's starting to catch feelings for her, too. Yeah. Which is D.
He's kind of realizing, like, oh, she's actually a good person. Like, maybe this is not the best idea.
Yeah. And then she's angry. She storms away, even though I'm pretty sure he's driving her car. She just, like, leaves her in the driveway.
A little mishap.
I was like, where did her keys go? Anyways. Yeah, so she's mad. And then at the same time, Bianca and...
Cameron
are driving home. And
he's like... She puts the moves on him.
He's like, well, like... You're using me, and because you want, what's his name? Tony, is that his name?
Joey. She wants Joey, the apparently hot, sexy model, but I mean, let's be real.
And then Bianca's like, no, I like you, and then kisses him. And yeah, that's the tea. Okay, and then basically prom happens, and Kat finds out about the whole thing. It's super mad, and...
Bianca finds out about it, too, and she throws a few punches.
Yes!
Little haymaker action.
Joey gets his stuff rocked.
Yeah. And then, I guess they have to go to school after that, and that's when the famous...
Her poem,
where she starts crying, because apparently Kat Stratford has feelings. And then she goes to leave.
They don't hate you, not even a little bit, not even at all. And then
he buys her a guitar.
Patrick gets her a guitar, and it's all okay, and they're in love. Yep.
Yeah, they're in love, and that's the movie. Okay, so after we just summarized both of some great rom-com action, we want to hear your guys' opinions on which one you like better, but our opinions are...
I'm Maddie, and I personally like 10 Things I Hate About You. That is, like, one of my favorite movies ever. It's, like, my comfort movie. So I'm going to vote for that one.
I'm Ansley. I think I'm going to vote for How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days because, I mean, Matthew McConaughey.
Yeah.
And I don't know. It's just... I don't know. It's just... That's my vote.
And I'm Evelyn, and I like How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days better.
So tiebreaker.
One of my favorite movies, so.
All right, let's go ask around, see if we can break this tie. Or there's not a tie, but see if I can get some people on my side at this point.
Yeah.
All right, so which movie is your favorite? How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days or 10 Things I Hate About You?
First of all, nearly impossible question because both are phenomenal, both really romantic. A lot of enemies to lovers going on, lots of tension in both movies.
Love the trope.
I love that. I feel like it depends what mood you're in. I feel like if you're in the mood to like laugh more, I feel like How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days is more like of a comedic relief. But then if you're in the mood for more like just being like deep in your feels and watching like more character development, I feel like How to Lose a Guy, I mean, como se dice? 10 Things I Hate About You. Like I always cry at that part where she like reads her poem out loud because she realizes like how thin the line is between love and hate.
Yes.
True.
Because they're both very like passionate feelings.
No shade.
So this is like such a hard question, but I do really feel like How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days just because it's like funnier.
Okay.
I don't know.
Okay.
But
there we
through
go.
High school, I and especially beginning of college because men. Anyway, I watched a lot of 10 Things I Hate About You.
Yeah, it's like my comfort movie.
It is. They're both amazing though. You can't go wrong with either.
Okay
perfect. That was our special guest, Miss G. We're here with Miss Bizak, and we need she's going to answer if she likes How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days or 10 Things I Hate About You.
I love 10 Things I Hate About You. Boom. Iconic, there classic.
That's rappers.
Way to go.
Yes.
I agree. Thank you. Someone finally agrees with me. So everyone loves these two movies. As Ms. G said, there's a really thin line between love and hate. And it really goes to show that with both of these movies, the... enemies to lovers trope is really common in these rom-com and romance novels and movies. So we love to see that. It's a great trope. Everyone loves it. Sort of relatable at many levels, I think. So I think there's a difference between both these movies. Like 10 Things I Hate About You is more immature. Like it's more for the younger generation, like high school. And How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days is more mature, more for adults. Like, it's about... The characters are adults, so it's just into, like, which generation you want to, like, relate to more.
Yeah, so that All of that wraps up the second episode, and I really hope you guys enjoyed listening.